Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Laura, I went to the movie theater last night to listen to a record.
I saw that. Tell me about that.
It was so interesting. Pearl Jam had a one-night-only sort of listening party at a couple hundred theaters all around the U.S. and around the world.
So nothing visual. This is all just listening to a new record?
Right.
Okay.
My friend. Well, there was something visual.
Okay.
Here's a little sample of one of the songs. From the soon-to-be-released album, Dark Matter. Now, imagine sitting in the Dolby, like the Dolby Atmos Theater at the Southdale AMC. I'm sitting next to my friend Kathan, and Kathan is a Pearl Jam obsessive. He travels around the country, kind of like Adam and Fish.
Yes.
He travels to see Pearl Jam.
Love that.
And he had two tickets last night to see this release. And neither of us had really ever been to anything like that.
Fun.
So the way it worked was, first it's like just going to a movie, right? So you got all the pre-show, yeah. And then you're watching the previews. And then the movie starts. And I was like, well, are we going to see them
play? Was it a
video? Or, no, it was nothing.
Oh.
So, I don't know. And this is, I'm sure, real Pearl Jam fans will be like, DeRusha, you are such an idiot. But, one of the guys in the band, it was not Eddie Vedder.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys comes on stage. I think it was Mike McCready, comes on camera.
Okay.
And it's like, hey, thanks for being here. And it was sort of a grainy looking, crappy, look worse than a cell phone video.
Was this live? So he was coming into all of these theaters?
I think it was taped. Because they played it at night at all these different locations.
Yeah.
So it wasn't live. And it was like, thanks for coming. We're going to play the album twice. First, you'll see it in darkness.
Cool.
So they're like, close your eyes.
Yeah.
Really listen to the lyrics.
I like that.
And then, so they run through the track list, and then and it is totally dark. It's totally dark in the theater.
Yeah.
And then they play it again with this sort of psychedelic animation.
Yeah.
It looked like a Windows screensaver.
Sure.
Didn't really look like
stuff bouncing and
stuff bouncing
on the screen. Yes,
but it also had the lyrics.
Oh, that's cool.
So you know, if you watch a music video, sometimes there's a lyric only video.
Yep,
it was cool,
I bet.
Was such a different experience to see the lyrics up there because you're really focusing on the lyrics. Whereas the first time through, you're sort of just absorbing the music. It was in a time where we stream, where we listen to 30 seconds on TikTok, where if we don't like a song, we hit next.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool to sit down for 80 minutes and listen from start to finish.
I love that.
Twice.
I love that. And did this record tell somewhat of a story? Was it a cohesive?
Not like the way that Beyonce's.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Not like that.
Okay.
It's a little darker than a lot of what you think of with Pearl Jam.
Right.
And as usual, even that song that Dan just played for us.
That was a little peppy for Eddie Vedder, I thought.
A little bit.
Major key-ish.
But it's built. These songs are built to be performed live. You're
sure.
Oh, man, to hear the guitars and the. What a unique experience. It just made me think, there are how many, there are different ways that artists do, a listening party.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I've seen some broadcast where, you'll have an artist sitting on a stage, a First Avenue type stage.
Right.
And sort of narrating or telling the story.
Yeah.
But and I think there are only so many that could get away with this, right?
Yeah.
You're who would you see that you'd be oh, it'd be interesting to watch?
I would see just about anybody do that. I think that's really cool.
It was cool.
And it is something, too, at the more local level for musicians. My guitar teacher and local musician, Al Church, who's just a fabulous artist here in town, he and some friends put together kind of an impromptu Christmas record this past December. Just on a whim, they went and recorded a bunch of wonderful Christmas songs just in their own style. Mixing up and improvising and everything. And then they, on Christmas Day, kind of in the late afternoon, once most people were done with their all their stuff with their families, they did this live listening party where they played it on, what was it? I think it was on Instagram.
They
played the whole recording session, and then everybody got to participate and, you know, give your comments and give your likes and everything. And it was just this cool community, knowing that everybody who likes them and who was invited to listen to this, we were all listening together. It was fun. It was really great. I loved it.
It was, it's, you know, it's interesting how artists are trying to figure out different ways to kind of capture our attention and also to reward like real fans, right?
Yep.
So this for sure, it was, the theater was pretty full.
I'm glad to hear
that. It was 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I just got, he was going to go with his wife and she couldn't go.
Sure.
So he was like, do you want to go? Like,
I'm glad you did it.
Why not?
Like,
yes. It was cool. I mean, you look at Pearl Jam, you're like 33 years of making music. This is their 12th album.
It's fabulous. Great.
So pretty fun. Like still, you know, Eddie Vedder still sounds like Eddie Vedder. That
love him.
That style, that kind of lyrical voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, I think of him as a great guitarist.
Yeah.
But certainly his vocals, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unmistakable when you hear him. You know exactly who it is.
Exactly.
For sure.
Caitlin Clark talking with her new team, you know, number one draft pick.
Yep.
Indiana Fever. She talked about who she was a fan of growing up. Did you hear this?
Yeah.
I grew up loving the Minnesota Lynx. I probably shouldn't say that anymore. And Tamika Catchings, of course. So
good say.
I love how she was so sheepish about that. You know, you could tell she was like putting her head down in Minnesota Lynx. Yeah.
But you think about that time. I mean,
yes.
The Lynx were a dynasty at that point. So I think that's pretty fun.
That was fun.
I just wanted to share that. Another story I saw today, answering a question that I didn't know anyone was asking. Can you have a happy marriage without sex? This is the New York Times, which, by the way, when you're looking for love advice, I go to the
New York Times. New York Times. All the news that's fit to print.
They have this modern love issue.
Yeah.
Have you seen, this is all in the New York Times magazine. A lot of it is going on the New York Times website this week. And some of this stuff, I don't know. I don't know, Laura. Like, I don't want to be like such an old fuddy-duddy. But one of the articles is Lesson from a 20-Person Polycule.
I saw that. I need to read that. That is, I don't even know what to say about this yet. I need to read it with an open mind.
I know. I haven't read it either.
But at the same time, it's very outside my comfort zone.
20 people in this group. And so it's like they're people in their mid-20s to mid-40s. And they're all like sort of
orgying.
Sort of. Like not necessarily. It's not like all at once, but they're all like kind of, you're over here and
sharing
also over
and
there.
And
share,
and,
yeah.
Yes. And some of them are married. And it, I just.
Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, there's so much ink sort of spilled on. And look, like, you navigate the world the way you need to navigate the world. But like, part of news is stuff that's different and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it elevates this stuff that is like, this is not normal.
No, it's not mainstream. It's not
and
normal.
Who wants to read an article about like you, my boring marriage, right? Like, or your marriage. Like, it's not that interesting.
We had meatloaf last night.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. I wonder sometimes, I'm not going to accuse the New York Times or any media outlet of sensationalizing or trying to be shocking just to get readers or clicks or whatever. But some of this stuff you kind of wonder. And Agreed. Then, you know, at the same time, they do need to reach a younger demographic. So yeah. if 20-somethings are presenting themselves as these just open sex, love, rock and roll, like right. the new form of hippiness, and this is part of that, is it newsworthy? No. But is it a feature story for the New York Times Magazine? Well,
yes. It's interesting. Yes. But I also wonder, like, just the way that we consume news is flat, right?
Yeah.
Like, it shows up on your Facebook feed or your X or your Instagram, and it all shows up the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a feature story or you have an investigative story, it's in the same little box on the same little thing.
Right.
And so it doesn't feel like, oh, well, this is just the magazine. It's like,
yeah.
why is the New York Times doing a yeah. story about some weirdo, you know?
It's jarring.
It is a little jarring. Mm-hmm. And what I struggle with is exactly what you're saying. Is this just like, oh, it's interesting. Like, here is the one example of this polycule.
Mm-hmm.
In the, you know, maybe there are three of these in the U.S. Let's mm-hmm. be real. Like, how often is this happening? Now, I think there's all sorts of weird stuff that goes on in people's love lives that nobody ever talks about.
Yeah.
But, like, is this that? I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. And I wouldn't even put this in the category of anybody's love life. I think this is an attempt to be, you know, provocative and out there and pushing boundaries and just, you know, lots of experimentation, which, fine, that's not for me to judge.
Yeah.
But I can't call it love. I can't put it in the category of love. That doesn't work for me.
The other article, this question about whether a sexless marriage can be a happy one, I do think is probably more relatable
sure.
to a wider group of people.
Yep.
Because, you know, life changes. Life changes. People have different needs and you're at different spaces. And
yep.
Can it be happy? Well, if you're both on the same page, it can be.
Mm-hmm. There are,
I think,
so many more factors that go into happiness
right.
in a marriage, I would think, than just sex.
But you have to be lucky enough to be in the same spot on this thing.
Yeah, but you probably grow to be in the same spot if you're going through something together and
yeah.
and have to deal
Maybe.
With the same thing, you know?
It seems to me that trouble develops when someone is uninterested and someone else is like, what?
Sure.
I still am.
Right.
Now what?
I think
the good news is you have that kind of group of 20 you can go join.
I think, Jason, that Dr. Phil should feel pretty threatened by you right now. I really do. I could see it.
It's, I think it's really interesting, that idea. And the luck, the flip side of this is if you are in a happy marriage, where everything is good to go on, you know, the physical needs, the emotional needs. Like, first of all, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a testament to, like, being willing to work at it. And also, like, a lot of luck. Like, sometimes
yeah.
it's a lot of luck.
Yeah.
I'm thankful every day. I'm like, there's a lot
yes.
of luck here. And putting up with me for 20 plus years is... I mean, the luck of finding that person in college. Maybe it's I grabbed her when she was young enough. She doesn't know better.
No. She loves you. You guys have a beautiful bond that you've tended to for decades.
You have to keep the garden watered.
Yes, you do.
But you
yes.
also, like, have to know that things do change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're lucky, too.
I am lucky. Fortunate.
Yeah.
Happy.
That's probably a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Laura. I hope, you know. You don't have a sexless marriage, unless you so desire that.
Are you still talking to me?
I'm just telling the audience that. Dear Rush Hour News headlines coming up next. Want you to stick around, too, if you're a Naz Reid fan. Oh, my gosh. I was in tears reading Chris Hines' wonderful story about Naz Reid and his mentor, his father figure. Just amazing. If you love Naz, you're going to love that. Well, if you love in family, you're going to love this story. Chris will join us at 5:35. D-Rush Hour News headline coming up, though, next, including Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential with a couple Minnesota people on it. A charity website based off the success of that viral red paperclip bit. And a Minnesota Vikings player going to help single parents get access to college. D-Rush Hour next.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
D Rush Hour News headlines time here on the 17th of April, and a local CEO has been named a Times 100 Most Influential People. Yes, she is. Beth Ford from Land O'Lakes makes the list. Land O'Lakes reaching out to tell us about this today. There also was a University of Minnesota professor on the list of 100 Most Influential. In time, they talked about Beth Ford's, one of her first jobs, detasseling corn in Iowa for $2 an hour. And she has been working really to change some national policy, getting more investments in rural community, getting better broadband coverage, helping farmers adapt to the changing climate, stronger trade efforts. Pretty interesting stuff. This is the quote from Time. The farm-to-table movement has been happening at restaurants since the 1970s. But thanks to Beth, the farm-to-boardroom table movement is just beginning. What do you think of this idea? When I first read about this in the Star Tribune, I got to be honest, it seems a little complicated to me. But it's a charity website based off the success of that guy who started with a paperclip and ended up with a house. I don't know that if you have a paperclip, you should trade it away. That's Kyle MacDonald in his TED Talk. If you have a paperclip, like, just use it to hold some paper together. So anyway, the Star Tribune reporting on this former IT executive at United Health. His name is Joel Ackerman, who's about to launch an online platform called Red Ladder. So you know how popular it is on Facebook or whatever, these buy nothing groups where people are like just trying to get rid of stuff and somebody who needs it takes it. So he's like, well, this is cool. People are interested in that. What if we could figure out a way to do it and benefit charity? So the idea is like Dan Cook would donate. He's like, oh, I don't need these headphones. He would donate that. And then another person could get it. I'm like, oh, I want those headphones. I'm going to trade in my iPhone. And then somebody else wants the iPhone. They can trade in a, I don't know, pack of cigarettes in Minneapolis. And then you could just keep going higher and higher. And then the ladder, the red ladder, ends with the website selling an item and donating the cash to the charity that Dan designated as the initial donor. Another option is just like donate money to charity. Wouldn't that be a lot easier? This just seems so complicated to me. There are a lot of new ideas when it comes to getting people excited about giving money. You know, that All True, maybe you've seen that. We should get, like, some of these guys on. Former Wild player Jason Zucker, Vikings player Kyle Rudolph, a couple of Minnesota entrepreneurs have this website where you donate to a charity and you get X entries into sweepstakes. And you win, like, VIP access to a concert or meeting a pro. Pretty cool stuff. So there you go. Minnesota Vikings player is going to help some single parents get access to college. Yeah, Anthony Barr, who spent so many years with the Minnesota Vikings, I think he's a free agent right now, Anthony Barr is. We'll see if he ends up back. But his foundation is just amazing. It's called Raise the Bar. And the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal writing about how he is partnering with Dunwoody College of Technology, this new scholarship for single parents who would get money for housing, childcare, and career coaching, all getting more women involved in technical careers. That's the D Rush Hour News headlines at 5:32. We'll break and come back with Chris Hine with a fascinating look inside the life, the motivation of Naz Reid.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.